Welcome to another edition of the Cross Conference Women's World Cup Daily Recap for July 10th, 2011. We'll skip a day and look what happens. The most dramatic Women's World Cup ever now has all its semifinalists. Saturday's action saw France and England taken to extra time and then penalties where, under pressure, England crumbled and France emerged victorious. The second game of that evening was one for the history books as Japan rebounded from their loss at the hands of the English to once again play flawlessly. The Japanese completely nullified the German attack, played patiently and intelligently, going on to win 1-0 in extra time against host Germany. It seems Sunday would hold much calmer affairs at the outset. In a game that no one watched, Australia was outclassed by Sweden 3-1. In a game that everyone around the world should have been watching, the United States and Brazil played what must be the most dramatic match in Women's World Cup history. The U.S. pulled ahead on a Brazilian own goal in the opening minutes and did a great job of getting into Brazilian heads during the whole first half. The second half was a different story, the U.S. playing down a player after Rachel Buehler was sent off in a controversial penalty call by the referee. The U.S. picked it up after that, but went down 2-1 in extra time. All seemed lost until the final seconds when Megan Rapinoe sent a beautiful last-ditch cross that landed perfectly on the head of Abby Wambach, who did not miss. The rest went to PKs, where the U.S. was perfect, and Hope Solo made a key save to push the United States onto the semifinals, where they will play France on Wednesday. Joining me to talk about the USA's remarkable game against Brazil was Megan Durham of the Girls in the Cheap Seats podcast. Hello, this is Joan, and we are back. It is Sunday, July 10th. The sun is shining. It's so beautiful. This is a Women's World Cup daily recap for the final quarterfinal game. And today my guest is the lovely and talented Megan Durham from Girls in the Cheap Seats podcast. She is also on Twitter, Pink Away Kit, and her blog is pinkawaykit.org. Megan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are very, very welcome. So, how are you?
Still recovering, kind of. My heart's finally slowing down just a little bit. So,
same here. I cannot. I mean, I can sort of believe, but I cannot believe how fast my heart was beating during that game, during the final time, during the PKs. I can see why these women, you know, they make the money. They're the professionals, because I would be dead on that field. I'm sure I would be dead. But let's bring it back to the beginning, and we'll just preface this by saying we're not going to talk about Sweden and Australia. Sweden won 3-1 against Australia, and I think was the only quarterfinal. That was the only quarterfinal game from the highlights that seemed that one team was punching above its weight class a little bit. Australia just, not that they didn't belong there, but it was, yeah, I don't know. That game did not belong with these other quarterfinal games. Let's just say. But let's take it back to the beginning of the U.S. game. First half, very quick own goal by Brazil. And I felt that the first half, in a way, well, the U.S. didn't look pretty offensively. It was like it could not have gone better for them. You know, the Brazil was getting frustrated. They're already a goal down. Most of the calls are kind of going the U.S.'s way. I don't know. How do you feel about that first half?
Yeah, I do. I think the first half, getting the first goal that early was huge, and it kind of put Brazil on their back foot a little bit. And for the first, 15, 20 minutes, I thought the U.S. really carried it to them. And after that, I thought the play sort of evened out, but definitely I saw what you saw, like Brazil, especially Marta, started getting frustrated, and you started to think that it was going to be make or break for them. Either they were going to completely fall apart, or they're going to use their frustration to motivate them to come back. And I think that we were able to get that lead so early and just sort of play a good organized defensively and keep Brazil from getting too many chances and holding on. It was very, I guess, professional. And I felt that Brazil was starting to maybe lose it a bit from the end.
Right, right. And I mean, it's defensively, you mentioned defensively, like I love the U.S.'s work rate defensively in that first half. And, you know, and when they went a person down, I like there were a lot of mistouches. You know, they didn't play a flawless game like Japan did. You know, you were not going to ever see a flawless game out of the U.S. But, you know, they did the work. They did the work. Shannon Box, well, you know, not the most amazing player, didn't do the most amazing things. She was really present, I think, in a lot of ways in that game, much more so than games during the group play. I liked that she was present, and that in a way was all she had to do.
Yeah,
was just get in the way. She didn't even make stupid fouls, so I can't say that for the rest of the midfield.
Yeah,
but speaking of fouls, the referee. I don't know how you feel about it, but you go ahead.
Well, you know, I didn't really notice her until the penalty kick call. And it's not saying that she had a good or bad game before then. I'm just saying I was too busy focusing on the game itself to really notice whether or not she was having a good game or a bad game. But after that, I think she started to completely lose control of the game as far as the penalty itself. I haven't really had to see a really good replay. It's hard for me to tell. I get that if it's a foul, you have to give a red card there, but I'm not really sure if it was a foul even, or if the contact kind of went both ways. Mm-hmm. But the retaking penalty, I think that was a really harsh decision. I can't imagine why. I've never seen a decision that harsh calling for a penalty retake. You know, because Hope Solo didn't come off her line, which is what people were saying at first, but it wasn't even close. And the player who came out a little bit early was maybe had one foot inside the box. It wasn't blatant or anything like that, and not something I would ever expect to be called, because, I mean, it's just so trifling that it just doesn't matter. It didn't affect the save or anything. Like, if she had actually, you know, got to the rebound and, you know, played the ball out or something, then, I mean, then you're supposed to, I think, award an indirect free kick or something. But it was just, I'm not sure what happened.
I don't either. I think with that call, she definitely did kind of lose it. And the linesmen as well, both of them are lineswomen. It wasn't the most great team performance from the refereeing squad there. But credit to the U.S., they did not decide that the ref was going to choose what happened to them.
Yeah.
I think if this were the men, you know, it would be a lot more moaning and groaning and for longer.
Yeah.
We've seen it. The body language would just be totally different.
Yeah. Well, I saw it from Brazil a little this game. Whenever they had a call that didn't go their way, they just, you know, throw up their hands and start moaning. And what I loved about the U.S. is right after that happened, they all grouped together, got together in a group, and, you know, made sure and that they knew that where they stood and that they weren't going to give up and they weren't going to let this, you know, get them down, and they were going to continue playing to take it to them. And I think that one, that showed a lot of spirit and togetherness in their team, which I love to see that they're actually, this is one team and no one's out for themselves. They're just out for and the success of the team as a whole. And also just to show that they're never going to give up. And I think, I agree about the men, but I think, I don't know. I just think that's a sort of an attitude I see with all the U.S. teams, you know, from the women to the men to the youth, is that it doesn't matter how against you the world seems, that they're always going to keep pushing and keep pushing until they finally get the breakthrough. And I think this, you know, even, you know, stoppage time down 2-1 and extra time and you're facing elimination and your worst World Cup performance ever, I guess is what they said. And they just wouldn't believe that they were going to go out and got the goal they needed. And it was just, I don't know, I just feel, in that way, I think they were the better team throughout the game, but I think, you know, even when nothing was going their way, they weren't going to let that get to them.
Right. Well, the crowd certainly turned their way, which really surprised me. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but, like, I'm sort of used to on foreign soil, you know, the crowd's not, I mean, it takes a while for the crowd to, or if they ever do, go towards the United States, but that was quick. That crowd, yeah, which should have been mostly neutral, was, you know, not very keen on Brazil, and I can't blame them at all. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I'm like, you know, this is a pretty savvy footballing nation that, you know, just saw something it did not like in Brazil. Yeah. And I wonder what it would have been like had Brazil advanced, you know, for them. But luckily for us, they did not. I think, yeah, Brazil just played themselves out of it, really, by their histrionics and their, you know, the diving and the collapsing and the, you know, come on. get it together. Put your big girl panties on. And, you know.
It was hard to see because I think they have some really, really good, talented players. And I don't know. They don't need to do that. That's what got to me is that, you know, if you just play your game, I'm not saying they would have won, but, you know, they would have at least earned some respect from the crowd. And
They did themselves no favor in that area. But considering how they did play, they still went with the three back, and the U.S. just chose not to exploit it. I don't know how better to explain it. I thought they did wonderful work defensively, but then on the offensive end, I don't know if it was there's plenty of miscommunication, and they just weren't getting it together, and that's concerning. We're in the quarterfinals now. You're going to face potentially two teams that have put up very amazing, flawless results, you know, in Japan and France.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the U.S. offensively going forward?
Well, I think in this game, it was a lot of the tactics were, you know, play it long, don't go through the midfield. And when they did, you know, they seemed to lose the ball pretty easily. I don't know how much Brazil had to do with that, but I just don't know. I don't think we took advantage of the open spaces in the attacking third enough. And watching other games, especially Japan, you know, they're and Sweden, kind of what happened in our game against Sweden is that they're very well. They don't make those mistakes. You know, once they win the ball, they don't lose it, and so I think the U.S., if you're going to lose the ball against, you know, one of those teams, then you're going to have to work really, really hard to get it back because they're not going to give it up easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to be more efficient, I guess, with our attack. Not just finishing opportunities, but creating more opportunities, you know, getting our solid build-up play, linking up between the forwards and the midfielders with each other. And the defenders with the midfielders as well. And I think, you know, Shannon Box is key to that, but it's one of the most concerning things, I think, is just our link-up play and our build-up in between, you know, our forwards and our midfielders and getting those chances. Because, I don't know, Japan, the way they played against Germany, they're not going to – I don't think – they're going to give up many opportunities for the rest of the tournament. I don't see them and the other teams either. And so, and if you don't take advantage, they're going to punish you. And, you know, as we saw, you know, against playing when we played Sweden. So we've got to be more clinical and more efficient in the attacking third.
Right. I mean, and granted, I did see fewer stupid shots out of the midfield. Maybe just one or two from Carly Lloyd. But overall, nothing to make, not so much to make you just put your head in your hands and start screaming. And that's a positive sign. I think it was, but then again, you just didn't see that many chances overall. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, I definitely agree with you that they just need to be more precise and clinical and cold-blooded and just, yeah. But so for you, who was the player of the match?
Oh man. I'd be really cliched to say Hope Solo, but,
oh yeah. You wouldn't be too wrong though.
No. Just for the penalties he saved. To be honest, that's a hard question because I was going to say Allie Krieger's been my man of the woman of the tournament so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult to say. So
yeah, it is hard to pick out anybody who really performed well, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
I think Rampone did very well. You know, you didn't see any of the defenders getting hugely outpaced. And speaking of defenders being outpaced, Amy Lepelbit, so good today. Like, there was no, I don't think I saw one toot about how she's playing out of position.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe, she, you know, it wasn't spectacular, but, you know, she beat some Brazilians on the dribble in overtime. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just... It was really great to see, you know, going from, you know, just what must have been really awful emotions in that Sweden game to stepping up. You know, she got a lot of help from her fellow defenders and the midfield in some cases. But so wonderful to see a little bit of vindication for her, and yeah. You know, for me personally, a little bit of vindication for Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, and I just think Lepelbit in this game had, like you said, had a lot of help. I thought Chrissy Rampone, mentioned, was excellent in giving her some support from the center, so she wasn't left out on an island, which I think isn't her greatest strength. And I think, you know, that's not really, she'll, I think she's, Lepelbit is a really good defender, but you know, it's really hard for anyone when they're left on their own and they're not the formation doesn't really play their strengths and aren't playing in their, in my opinion, her best position. So yeah, I think she did really well today, and I think, you know, going back, it's a team game, and so you can't really blame one person when you lose or give up a goal, or one person when you score. You know, it's all about everyone. And so when she's, you know, all alone to make a mistake or a great play, you have to realize that her teammates are there helping her or not helping her. I mean, and that just goes for anyone, is that she got a lot of support. I think Rampone, as you said, was excellent. She continues to astonish me with how pacey she really is. I don't know. It just.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, it's like, you know, this is her, fourth World Cup. And it doesn't show, other than experience. It's like, she's just doing wonderful things. And I have been critical of Abby Wambach in the past plenty, but I think she really just, her drive really, motivated that team. And I think it was, I don't know. It was wonderful. Like I don't know. I mean, the most important point for me is I'm proud of this team. And I could not say that in 2007, you know, in 2007, I was, you know, almost actively ashamed of them. Cause it was just so horrendous. And even if they had lost, I would have been like, you know, there's absolutely no shame to be had for anybody on that team. It was, I don't know, it's a really wonderful feeling getting back to being proud of this team.
Yeah, and I think what I like seeing is that how they're confident and they know what they can do without being, I think in the past maybe they were a little bit arrogant and felt that they were entitled to be the best in the world or something. And I think, you know, when they come into a tournament and they have to struggle and, you know, climb uphill battles to in the end win in a penalty shootout, mm-hmm. that's what makes me proud, because you're realizing that you actually have to, they're actually going to have to work, that they're not automatically the best team in the world anymore. It's not just this
cakewalk.
Yeah. I think maybe, I don't know, I didn't watch much in 2007, but
it wasn't much to watch.
Yeah. I think maybe, you know, there was a little residual effect of, wait, so we're not the dominant team in the world, and they're sort of having to learn their way, and you have to earn that title again, you know. I know they're ranked number one by FIFA, but in order for me to believe that they actually deserve that ranking, they have to earn it, and I think games like this go a long way toward that. And so I'm really proud of them and the way they battled back in a tough circumstance. And, you know, it's one thing to do well when everything's going for you, but when everything's going against you, you know, how do you react to that? And that's mm-hmm. what made me really proud. And I don't know, can I compare it to last year at the Men's World Cup? I mean, I don't know. It's almost the exact same feeling I felt after the men beat Algeria. It's just kind of mm-hmm. one of those storybook moments in the game. This game kind of reminded me what I love about this game, you know, just about being a fan. And I don't know, it's just kind of,
it's beautiful, basically. Yeah. Wonderful. And I don't know. I'm pleased, because I was afraid, we had scheduled this yesterday, I was afraid that this was going to be 20 minutes of us complaining about referees. And I am so thankful that that did not have to be what this was. Because, oh gosh, you know, it's just wonderful. We're both, I have to throw away the objectivity or something, or no, I have to bring it back, because I have thrown it away. It's already gone. And you know, it just, so happy. And you know, as much as we question Pia's decisions, it's like she keeps pulling out these miracles, you know. What so maybe we should just keep questioning, and just she can keep ignoring us.
Yeah,
that, and that'll be totally fine, as long as we just keep winning. Well, Megan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Megan is a part of the podcast Girls in the Cheap Seats. Wonderful. On the Champion Soccer Radio Network. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
I was like, all four of those words. She is also Pink Away Kit on Twitter, and she blogs at pinkawaykit.org. Well, Megan, I hope you have a wonderful rest of the tournament and a nice afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you very much again.
Bye-bye.